Archbishop Hebda, my brother priests and beloved Dominican nuns, friends and family of Sister Mary Catherine of Jesus, members of the Dominican family, friends of this monastery, brothers and sisters in the Lord. What a great joy it is to join you today in thanking God for the gift of this monastery and for the 100 years of praise it has offered God unceasingly since its foundation, October 2nd, 1919. We thank him for drawing to himself here so many nuns over the past century to seek his face, to petition for God's mercy in this community, to contemplate the truth and share the fruits of that prayerful study with us, to praise, bless, and preach God by their vocation in their very presence. And we thank and praise him in a particular way for the grace and favor he has showered upon Sister Mary Catherine Perry, not only during the past quarter century, but stretching back to her birth, her baptismal spiritual adoption and consecration at 2 months old, her formation in the school of Christian faith, hope, and love at home, and by the Sister Slaves of the Immaculate Heart of Mary at IHM School. And so many other seeds he planted over the course of her life that have germinated and flourished in the garden of this monastery. It is right and just, our duty and our salvation, always and everywhere to give God thanks. We pray at the heart of every Mass. But today we do so with special fervor, joy, and additional gratitude, asking him to continue to bless Sister Mary Catherine and all the nuns of this monastery, and to bring to completion the good work he has begun in them to the praise of his glory. Pope Francis wrote 2 years ago in his Apostolic Constitution on women's contemplative life, "The consecrated life is a history of passionate love for the Lord and for humanity. The contemplative nun seeks to fulfill to the highest degree the command to love the Lord with all one's heart, mind, soul, and strength, and to seek him as the one thing necessary, to choose him as the pearl of great price, and to envelop herself within the mystery of a total and exclusive reciprocal love. That love is the only thing that can explain what happens when a young woman crosses the threshold of this enclosure. She does so not just in response to the Lord's calling her, but because she has fallen totally, head over heels in love with God, the bridegroom of the church, the mystical bridegroom of her soul, who loves her despite all her weaknesses and failings, and seeks to cleanse her by water and the word, adorning her with his own virtue. For a Dominican nun, following the rule of St. Augustine, this passionate love is front and center. Before all else, dear sisters, St. Augustine says in the very first words of his rule, love God and then your neighbor, because these are the chief commandments given to us. This is the love that Sister Mary Catherine mentioned as the essence of her contemplative life in a vocational reflection published in Vision magazine, when she wrote, "Acceptance of my cloistered vocation was not easy. But in saying yes to the Lord, I slowly became filled with a quiet joy. I was in love, and the one with whom I was in love would never abandon me." This love was what she thanked God for most abundantly in the introduction of her appropriately entitled beautiful little book on life within the monastery. Amata means beloved. The word amata means beloved woman. Mary Catherine wrote, "I thank God most especially for the gift of being a spouse of Christ Jesus as a Dominican contemplative nun." This is the love in which she has, with God's help and her sisters, sought to grow in here since she entered as apostolate in the Solemnity of the Epiphany in 1991. "I was in love in my first days in the monastery," she wrote candidly in that Vision article, "but it was more infatuation and self-centeredness. Now, as the community became my community, I realized that the expression of love for my beloved was to be measured by my love for my sisters in Christ. I began to see that fidelity was not in one grand pronouncement of vows, but in choosing every day to surrender to Christ and approach each day doing everything with love. That's why the text chosen for this Mass is so fitting. In the Gospel, Jesus says to every nun and to every disciple, "Just as the Father loves me, I love you." Jesus loves us with a personal love, the type of personal love that would make St. Paul exclaim in his letter to the Galatians, "The Son of God loved me and gave his life up for me." Jesus gives us a twofold command in response to that gift. The first is remain in my love. So often we can try to run away from a love so pure because we know we're unworthy of it. Just like St. Peter at his initial call begged Jesus, "Depart from me, O Lord, for I'm a sinful man." But Jesus doesn't want us to flee from, but to abide in and believe in the love that he has for us. Remain in my love. And then he tells us how. "You will remain in my love if you keep my commandments, just as I have kept the Father's commandments and remain in his love." And the commandments can be summarized, as Jesus himself tells us in St. Matthew's Gospel, in the command to love God with all we are and have, and to love others as he has loved us first. Notice, Jesus never said, "Love me as I have loved you," but "Love one another as I have loved you." When he asked St. Peter 3 times after the resurrection whether he loved him, 3 times Peter replied in the affirmative. Jesus told him, "Feed my sheep, feed my lambs, tend my sheep." Peter's love for the Lord would be shown in his love for those the Lord had entrusted to him. And it's the same way with a nun's love and our love. That's why the family is so important. That's why the church is so important. That's why the monastery is so important. Each is meant to be a school in which this type of love is mutually practiced as it takes on the characteristics St. Paul famously describes in his first letter to the Corinthians. Love is patient, it's kind, it's not envious, it doesn't boast, it's not proud, it doesn't dishonor others, it's not self-seeking, not easily angered, keeps no record of wrongs, doesn't delight in evil but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, trusts, hopes, and perseveres. It never fails. And when we remain in this love with all its attributes and try to love others as Christ has loved us, Jesus says that there is a clear and unmistakable fruit, joy. "I have told you this," the Lord says, "so that my joy might be in you and your joy might be complete." Joy is the fruit of love. And it happens when we know we're loved so much by Jesus that as much as the Father loves the Son, so the Son loves us. And when we, with that Son's love, try to love others to that same standard. This is the joy that flows from love, about which Isaiah sings in the first reading. "I will rejoice heartily in the Lord. My being exults in my God, for he has clothed me with garments of salvation, wrapped me in a robe of justice like a bridegroom adorned with a diadem." Christ envelops us in the habit of his love, and we can't but exult. This is the joy that St. Peter mentions in today's epistle when he says, "In this you rejoice, with this being," the Lord's giving us new birth to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus, "to an imperishable, undefiled, and unfading inheritance kept in heaven for us by God. A living hope based on love that can help us persevere through the various trials as our faith is tested in fire. Because we know with St. Paul that nothing in all creation not even death or the sword, can separate us from the love of God enfleshed in Jesus our Lord. This is the joy we all referred to in the entrance antiphon. Laetetur cor currentium dominum. Let the heart of those seeking the Lord rejoice. Because those who seek the Lord will not just find Him, but find Him loving them and giving them all the help they need to remain in that love, live in that love, and love others with it. This is the passionate love for the Lord and humanity that characterized the monastic life and is the alpha and the omega of the vocation and the mission of a contemplative nun, each of whom seeks, as the words from Pope Benedict printed in the program express so powerfully, to be on fire with God's incandescent love and thereby transformed into the splendor of His beauty. That transformation happens as each nun becomes yoked, literally conjugum, or spousally bound, to the obedient, poor, chaste, prayerful Christ, who binds them inwardly to His incandescent heart. The spousal dimension is very important to every nun, and to Sister Mary Catherine in particular. She wrote in a vocational reflection that she seeks with God's mercy to live her whole life as a response to Christ the bridegroom's marriage proposal, to be a perpetual I do, a fiat, a yes. She wrote, "I have struggled with my vocation and sometimes wanted to say no, but I also knew I'd never be happy unless my life were a continual yes. My profession ring is engraved with cross, forever yes, cross, as my way of reflecting my desire to live the mystery of the Annunciation. Forever yes, within the mystery of the cross, as a bride of the crucified Christ, whose whole life was a yes to us." She wrote in her vocational reflections, "At solemn profession, much to my surprise, I experienced what I can only describe as an ontological change in myself, a change in her being. It happened when I lay prostrate during the litany of the saints. When I got up from the floor, I wasn't the same person. It was the sense that I belonged to Jesus as His spouse. Before it was bride, after I became spouse." St. John Paul II appositely wrote, "To the gift of Christ the bridegroom, who on the cross offered His body unreservedly, the nun responds in like term with the gift of her own body, offering herself with Jesus Christ to the Father and cooperating with Jesus in the work of redemption. Forever yes, enveloped by the cross, in imitation of Mary at the Annunciation, whom the Church calls the summa contemplatrix, the highest form of woman's consecrated life of all. Mary's own, let it be done to me according to Your word, Lord." That the nuns here contemplate not just in the first mystery of the Rosary, but in all the mysteries on which they have meditated perpetually here for a century, including the mystery of the carrying of the cross and the crucifixion. That fiat to all that God does is the interpretive key for all that they do. Forever yes, as a spouse of Christ, has a special Eucharistic meaning. It's through the reception of Holy Communion that a nun, and in fact every disciple, participates in the consummation of the spousal union between Christ and His bride, the Church. That is why the altar is covered with a canopy or a baldachin, just like marriage beds are adorned with that piece of architecture to highlight that the altar is the marriage bed of the union between Christ and his bride, the church, where the bride takes within herself the body of the bridegroom and becomes one flesh with him, capacitated to bear fruit in acts of love. Love that Jesus teaches us today in the gospel will remain. That's why St. John Paul would write that the cloister, centered on this canopy and on the gift of God on the altar, is a response to the absolute love of God for his creature and the fulfillment of his eternal desire to welcome the creature into the mystery of intimacy with the Word, who gave himself as bridegroom in the Eucharist and remains in the tabernacle as the heart of full communion with him, drawing to himself the entire life of the cloistered nun in order to offer it constantly to the Father. That's what gives a Eucharistic quality to the whole of cloistered life, because it's not just sacrifice and expiation, but it's perpetual thanksgiving to the Father, sharing in that Eucharistane, that thanksgiving of Christ himself to the Father. That Eucharistic thanksgiving is what characterized the life of each sister in this monastery in the perpetual adoration of the Eucharistic Jesus, a thanksgiving in which each of us has been privileged to share, adoring the Lord with them and benefiting in untold ways from the constant stream of prayers the nuns offer for us and the world with loving hearts and praying hands. When Sister Mary Catherine entered this monastery, the most difficult thing for her to adjust to was to get up early in the morning before 5 a.m. for adoration. She still hasn't changed. And to stay awake and prayerfully vigilant before the Lord. One day, however, the verse from the Liturgy of the Hours, "In the morning, let me know your love, for I put my trust in you," leaped off the page straight into her heart. She soon would make this phrase from the psalm the last prayer she would say at night as she drifted off to sleep. "In the morning, let me know your love. Make me know your love." Expressing her trust that the Lord would give her the grace to keep up that struggle. Today, we thank that Lord she loves, the bridegroom who has chosen her, for having given her that grace to persevere for 25 years, to keep fighting the good fight, running the race even with a bad ankle, and keeping the faith with the help of his mercy and the mercy of this monastery. We thank the Lord for helping her to know his love each day and to share that love with us. We ask him to bless her not just by renewing in her the love she had at first in all its holy freshness, but granting her an even greater knowledge of the way he loves her, just as the Father loves him, so that she might become more and more a living witness of the passionate, incandescent, Marian, virginal, spousal, Eucharistic love that characterized the contemplative life as she continues to conform her life to the forever yes that has bound her to Christ's yes, now and into eternity. Praise be Jesus Christ.